Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio this afternoon. I'm Pat Sloan, and I have to tell you, I tell you this all the time, but I just love this job. I get to meet so many wonderful people out there when I'm traveling, and today my first guest is one of those that I want to tell you first about her, because, you know, when I'm traveling and I go to different shows, sometimes they're, you know, like quilt shows, and when I was at a Long Beach quilt show, I was walking down the aisles, and Carrie Ramsey jumped out of her booth and started talking to me because we had emailed and probably had met before, but we actually at the show got a chance to talk and spend a little bit more time getting to know each other, which really solidified our friendship. It's just been awesome that she was, you know, so friendly and grabbed me and said, "Hey, remember me? I'm here. I am in person again." So that was really cool. And you are going to be totally delighted for this first half hour of the show, because Carrie is so friendly and so lively, and we're just going to chat quilting, and you're going to learn so much stuff. So, hey, Carrie, how you doing?
Hey, Pat, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. Now, can we tell everybody your big news first, because it's so exciting?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Okay. Well, Carrie, we have to all congratulate Carrie because she is expecting a baby, and this is number three.
Number three. Yeah.
Oh,
there's a big gap between my littlest and this one, though. So my youngest is nine. So it's going to be a bit of a change for all of us to have a new tiny one in the house. So
I was 14 when my youngest brother was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so it's fun. It's fun to be kind of a big kid with the little one, and so yeah. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
It's pretty exciting. When you wrote that, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, because, you know, I don't have kids. So I'm like, oh, anytime I hear about babies coming, it's like, oh my gosh, that's such a big change. But at least you're used to it. You've been through it.
But yeah, it will be a big change for all of us. There's a lot of little things that you don't think about, but
exciting.
Yeah,
you have to keep the sewing room door closed.
Yes, exactly.
One.
Yeah, rotary cutters up and away from little fingers again.
Oh, yes. So, Carrie, tell me a little bit about how you got into quilting, because I don't actually know that part of your background, since I met you, you know, after you were already doing this as a business. You know, what got you started in it?
You know, what got me started was that I've been sewing since I was nine. My mom taught me how to sew on her machine when I was nine, and she loved to sew, but she always sewed clothing, and so that was really what I learned how to sew first. And at that time, back in the 80s, it wasn't cool to sew your own clothes. You know, it's kind of cool and trendy now, but but in the 80s, it wasn't so cool to do that. So, though I did in high school, I did sew a few dresses and skirts for myself, and I don't know if people could tell or not, but I liked them, so I didn't really care.
Right, I know.
So eventually I sort of found myself in quilting and wanting to know more about it, so I went to a local shop and sort of found myself asking a lot of questions, and the more questions I asked, the more I found that I just really loved it. And so
Did you have quilters in your family? Did you know what quilts were from that aspect?
Not exactly. I was probably one of those people that would have referred to it more as a blanket.
Like,
and you know, we all sort of find that dreadful.
Yeah.
Oh, don't call it a blanket. That's such a different thing.
Were you an adult by the time you wanted to learn to quilt, or were you?
I was, I think, 20. I was in my mid-20s. Found out later that my great-grandmother had done some quilting, and that my grandmother had done a lot of quilting as well, but they both passed really before I got to know them. So it certainly wasn't something passed down in the family, but the art of sewing was. And my mom is an amazing seamstress, and And so she was quite good at teaching me a lot of those little tricks. But when I started with quilting, I just sort of caught on to it and loved it. And I loved all of the fabric choices. And so,
isn't that the best, the fabric?
It is. It's the best.
Oh, that's the best part.
It's like eye candy. You don't even have to buy it. You could just go in and look and touch it and be like, oh, that's the best.
Yeah, right. Make your day a good happy. Day. Yeah, just stand in the room and look around at all the pretty fabric.
Yeah.
Get out and pet it.
Yeah. Don't even have to buy it. I can just look at you and it's enjoyable. So
yeah, yeah. When you started quilting, did you take classes or did you read a book?
Well, there was a... I had, at the time, Isabel, my youngest, was just a baby, really little, when I really started getting into it and wanting to learn more about it. So there was a class that they held that was, I didn't have a lot of money for classes, so there was a free class that they offered that was a block of the month. Mm-hmm. And this quilt shop was great. They offered this block of the month, and if you brought your block finished back the next month, you got the next month's block free.
Ooh,
and then during class time, they would give us some instruction.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, well, you know, what a great way to be able to do this and have a pretty small investment to begin with. So the first block was $5, and I thought, oh, well, you know, there we go. So I started doing that, and they did actually offer a lot more instruction than probably I'm aware of. Many shops now are not, they don't spend quite as much time with that, but this particular shop did, and that was great. So I learned a lot of really great tips that way.
Now, you're a creative person anyways. You were telling me that you know, in your prior life to quilting, you know, you did a lot of creative things. Yes, a prior life.
Yeah, my life before quilting.
Yes.
Yeah, in high school, actually from the time I was about 4, my mom had a paintbrush in my hand. And she did a lot of toll painting, and so she taught me brush strokes and different things. And so when I was in high school, I really started doing a lot more art and painting and drawing. And luckily, my mom was very encouraging with that. And so I went to college and majored in art. And I took quite a few art classes, but I never really finished college. You know, it just sort of became, life gets derailing, I guess, sometimes.
Just a different path.
So I found myself needing a job, and there was a flower shop that was offering to train people to be floral designers. So I took them up on it, and so I did that for about 10 years. I did floral design, and my focus was wedding flowers. So that's kind of fun to be able to be a part of a bride's day.
And yeah, that's a big job.
It's scary. A lot of responsibility.
Yeah, right. That's scary. Quilts might be a little less scary. But, you know, the whole thing is that you have this great eye for color and probably composition and layout based on, you know, your art background. And, do you feel like that? I mean, you are also a fabric designer, and you do beautiful, just fun florals in your fabric. Do you pull from your, you know, work that you did as a floral designer when you're drawing for your fabric lines?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. It does inspire me. I loved the flowers. I loved working with them and making them play with each other to make something more beautiful. And the depth and color value was a really big part of it. Depth and form, you know, and that made me, when I found later when I started quilting that the depth and form, you can actually find that in a quilt, even though they're very one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, they're very one-dimensional, but depending on how you use your color, that's how you can create depth in a quilt. So it changed my perspective a little bit, I think. So choosing those colors and being able to look at things from a different perspective, I think helped. It helped with especially some of my pattern designs. And, you know, I got into pattern design because I got tired of fixing other people's patterns.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it wasn't so much there was something wrong with them, but it was always a little bit like, oh, well, I like this and I like that, but I really want to change that.
Right, right.
How do I change that and make that mine? And
right.
So they never really ended up the way that the pattern looked.
Right. Right. I know. I hear that so much from people who end up designing their own, is that it's because they have you have a vision in your head, and when you're first starting, using a published pattern is like a kickstart, isn't it?
It is. It's a great guide. And I hope that people use my patterns that way as more of a guide so they can change it to suit their style and their needs.
Mm-hmm. Now tell me, you know, before we take our break, let's just talk real quick about your fabric line. What is the name and who is it published with, you know, your line right now that you have out?
Well, there's two that are currently in stores, and the first one is called Tidbits. They're both printed by Henry Glass Fabrics. And Tidbits came out, really, I think it hit stores in February, but I'm still seeing it in stores a little bit. And so I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure how much of it they're still continuing to sell through. But my current line is called Daisy Dance. And Daisy Dance was definitely inspired by flowers. I love daisies. I think they're a happy little flower, and and it has a nice little sort of a 1950s retro look. Mm-hmm. And the inspiration from the line came from a piece of feed sack that doesn't look it doesn't look like feed sack at all, and so it just has these big swirling sort of flowers, and so there is that piece in my line that we mimicked, and we made it a little bit smaller and made it a little bit more
something that could be used like for the quilts then.
Yes, you know, exactly. A little bit something that would work a little bit better in the line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was sort of the inspiration.
We're gonna take a really quick break, okay?
Okay.
All right, and when we come back after this break, we're going to talk to Carrie some more. We're going to talk about tools and a few other things. So hold on, and we'll be right back.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I have designer Carrie Ramsey here from Fresh Cut Quilts is her company name. So, Carrie, you love tools, don't you?
Oh, I love tools. I never thought I would get into them, but I love them.
Yay! They make your life easier, don't they?
They do. They do. And I'm all about whatever makes it easy and faster for me to get from point A to point B.
Oh, good. So we're kindred spirits that way. It's like, you know, you got to make enough, you know, you got to make more quilts. So you don't want to, you know, I'm not about the, you know, take 3 years to make one quilt kind of person. So
yeah, me neither.
So let's talk about a few of the tools because, you know, we chatted back and forth about that a bit. And, you know, one of the things that you've been using a lot is a die cutting machine.
Yeah, I use both the AccuQuilt Go Baby as well as the Big Shot by Sizzix in Westminster, I love them both. I love different things about each of them. I think that AccuQuilt has some more quilting type of dies right now, which has been great for when you just want to put that block together and get those triangles cut out or, some of those different sorts of shapes. Sizzix has a lot of more unusual shapes that that are fun for, like, flowers and applique and things like that. So so I use them both. But, yeah, I love the ease of use of it. I love that it's fast. And
you're finding, like, it's easy to get it set up and push your fabric through. I'm sort of a die-cut virgin at this point. I haven't really played with – I know. Isn't that bad? It's just one of those tools I just haven't – gone there because I think you need to learn them rather than just, you know, try it once. It's like you have to make it part of your routine to be make it worthwhile, it seems like. Or do you, just
sometimes,
do it randomly?
Sometimes, depending on what the... I use mine a little bit more randomly, but it depends on what you're, you know, how you feel about investing your money in it. I don't have... I have a lot. I do a lot with the Apple Core block with the...
Okay.
Because it is such a hassle to try to cut out from templates. And so rather than tracing and drawing and then cutting out, I really like that I can stack several layers of fabric on one, roll it through the machine, and put it back through one more time with another stack of fabric, and, you know, I'm on my way. So it cuts... it cuts down your time, especially with pieces like that, especially those curved pieces like the Drunkard's Path and the Apple Core. Things like triangles, you know, they're just as easy to cut with a rotary cutter. So I don't use it as much for strips and triangles because I'm a habitual quilter. I go back to my old habits just like everybody does.
That's so. Well, it's so true. And you were just mentioning rulers because you actually like to use, you know, several types, and you also like some of the specialty rulers that are out there. Why don't you share a few that you are in your go-to box of rulers?
My go-to. Well, the one that you designed with Sullivan's is...
Oh, thank you.
They're wonderful rulers. Love that they help sharpen my rotary blade as I go along, but they really keep, when you hold down your fabric with them, they really keep still and they don't move around a lot because of the frost on the back. And that makes a huge difference, especially if you have a cat like mine that likes to jump up while you're cutting. And so things like that I find really, really helpful. I really have enjoyed those. My 6x24 and my square, nine inch square get used all the time.
Right, and so that's because we put the sharpening edge on there. You know, every time that the Sullivan's edge ruler, you go against that, you're tuning up your blade. So if you're using it often, you extend the life of your blade, which is a bonus.
Yeah, and when you're cutting fabric the way that I do for quilts, whether it's quilts or my fabric that Henry Glass has sent me to send out for samples for people.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, I go through blades like crazy, so it makes a huge difference. I love some of the other more specialty rulers, things like Darlene Zimmerman has a double wedding ring ruler, which actually has three different little templates in it, but it takes away that cardboard template or having to do a lot of drawing. You can just cut around the acrylic.
Right.
And it takes a lot of the, she really broke it down, so it takes some of the frustration out of that, because it is a complex design, the double wedding ring is, but it's so plastic and beautiful that it's a fun one
worth
to
it.
Be able to cut out fast.
it's worth it in the end. But yeah, I've done two double. Have you done the double wedding ring yet? Have you made one or two or?
Well, so, I've been cutting on one.
Cutting on it. Okay, well that counts.
Out of scraps, you know.
Yeah.
So it's taking its time. It's not a fast quilt.
Oh gosh.
But I like the scallops, and you know, she's got some other good ones too. So.
She does. And she does an excellent job with the rulers, Darlene Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Now tell me about your blog. You know, you are not like me that's crazy and blogs every day. You blog when, you know, things are going on. So, you know, would you have fun with it? Do you meet people who read your blog?
I do, and I really enjoy it. I am busy with the two girls, and so I'm, you know, I try to fit it in, but I'm not a regular blogger, and I would like to be better about it, but I do enjoy it, and I have some plans to put some fun tutorials on it in the coming months, and to spend a little bit more time blogging, I think, doing some, like I said, some tutorials, a few giveaways. I have a giveaway planned later this week that has to do with the AccuQuilt.
Oh.
I'm doing a little review on it so you guys can see what the goods and bads are of it.
And tell your blog address so they can find you.
It is freshcutquilts.com.
Okay. And you recently, I was just, you know, looking at it here while we're talking, you were you shopping for a sewing machine and asking what people thought?
I was. And, I did shop around a little bit, and that's, you know, sometimes getting that feedback is really helpful. So, and I have met some people from blogging that have, you know, it's been really fun. You meet people from all over the world. So
I know. And they come up to you and start talking to your blog. The first time that would happen to me, I would forget that people read it. And
yeah.
I would be like, how do they know that?
Yeah. Wow. That's. Wow, really? You know a lot about me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do, I put a little bit of personal in there, but I also put a lot that has to do, it really is primarily about quilting and things that have to do with that. So when I'm working on something fun, I try to incorporate it in there, but, sometimes...
That's good.
Sometimes it's a little bit more sporadic than others.
Well, you know, they do what you do what you have to do.
Now, that's right.
Tell people about your quilt style, the style of, you know, quilts that you like to make and that you've published and that they
can buy. Well, I talked a little bit about, I don't have a lot of patience for things that take a long time. So my style is really more modern with a flair for the retro. I love things that look older. I also love some of the traditional blocks, as we've talked about, but some of the more challenging quilt patterns, I find it a challenge to break it down and make it easy for today's quilter so that it's not so daunting to make that, whether that's by making the blocks bigger or whether it's by changing the angle a little bit so you can use a half-square triangle instead of, you know, an odd angle.
Right, right.
You know, like diamonds and things that can sometimes be a bit tricky when you have to set in seams. And so anything like that can sort of, but I really like to make it, I like my quilts to be unique, but I do like them to be sort of fast.
Yes,
get them done,
I agree. And, you know, that's a good point you had, where if you do make things a little bit larger, you know, you work with maybe, you know, the size of the shapes are bigger, then it not only does your quilt go together faster, but they're easier to handle if you're sort of new.
And you have less issues with stretching, especially with something like triangles or, you know, things that are on the bias. So, yeah. Anytime you have something that's a little bit bigger, you can still get that, you know, those issues, but it makes it a little easier to handle when you've got a little bit more fabric to work with.
I'm looking at your, I went over to your site where you sell your patterns you have out there right now. I love your Christmas stockings, Christmas tidings.
Oh, thank you.
These different Christmas stockings are so cute. So.
Oh, thank you. I love to applique, and that's one of the classes that I really love to teach, too. Mm-hmm. I love to teach people to applique it and sort of take the intimidation out of it for people.
Which method do you teach, Carrie, or do you teach several methods?
You know, I if I'm asked in a class to show them how to do the freezer paper method, I will. But the method that I teach primarily for needle turn applique is the back basting method.
Oh, okay.
So you're drawing the actual design on the back and using that to baste the design onto the front with with the different fabrics. And it's once you learn it, it's kind of one of those methods that you kind of love, and you think, wow, I don't think I want to go back to that freezer paper again. So,
well, so many people say that about back basting. I have friends, and, you know, when I teach also applique, you know, people say the same thing, is that if you get used to it, that seems to be a method that people really like to stick to. Do you do any fusible applique yourself? Or
yeah,
just
I do. I kind of like all methods of applique. I also teach the invisible machine applique, and I really enjoy that. It gives you the idea of the look of applique without having to take the time to hand stitch it. I do the fusible a little bit. I like to do it where you have just sort of the shadow of the fusible on the outside edge, and the bigger pieces don't they have that fusible cut out of the center so that it's not all glued down and stiff.
I like that too. The donut method. That's what I call it.
Is that what it's called? The donut method? Okay.
Or people call it windowing. You know, it's got a lot of different names, but I always tell people I like donuts, so that's the name I prefer.
I'll remember that. I like that. I've always just called
there
it a shadow, but it's...
We only have a few more seconds. I just wanted to ask you, you do travel to teach a little bit, right? So people could email you.
I do, absolutely, yes. I haven't done a lot yet as far as going far from home. I've only been to neighboring states, but I certainly would consider it if asked.
Well, Carrie, this has been so awesome to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me, and, you know, I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
I know. I'll see you soon. This was Carrie Ramsey of FreshCutQuilts.com. We'll be right back after the break.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, four quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is your host, Pat Sloan, and I have another really fun quilter for you to meet, somebody that I have known for a very long time. And I think many of you not only know Mary Lou Wideman, but have probably taken workshops with her because she travels all over and she is the unstoppable Mary Lou. I just love her. I call her my friend, and I'm so glad she's here today. So hi, Mary Lou. How's life?
Hi Pat. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good. Good. It was fun listening to that last quilter. I don't know her, but it was fun listening.
I know. She is awesome. You'll have to meet her at the next time you go to the show. She is really friendly. She's a super, super girl.
Good. Good. Like most quilters.
I know.
So, gosh, it's so nice to talk to you.
We haven't talked for a while, have we?
No.
I haven't seen you in person for a little while. So.
Yeah. Not since a couple markets ago. So
yeah.
Anyway, it's great to talk to you, even though other people are listening.
Well, we'll pretend they're not here.
All right. So. That sounds good.
That's what they like anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
so,
good.
Mary Lou, when did you make your first quilt? I mean, you know, just like roughly. Were you like, you know, 2 years old? You have been making quilts like forever. You are so prolific and wonderful.
You know, I made my first quilt with my grandmother. We made a yo-yo quilt. I don't know whatever happened to it. Somebody escaped with it, and she basically just wanted me to be busy doing something. And then when I got in high school, I took a bunch of gunny sacks up to, she lived in Canada in a cabin, and I took a bunch of gunny sacks up there and asked her to help me make what do you call it when you ask a boy to the dance? Sadie Hawkins.
Oh, the Sadie Hawkins. Oh.
And I wanted to wear a calico and gunny sack dress. So you can tell I was kind of out of the box way back when. And she helped me make the coolest dress.
Oh.
And it was all patchwork, and then the skirt itself was lined and gunny sack, and it had the words on it.
Oh.
And
yes,
it was cool.
You were out of the box.
I was. She thought I was strange, but she went ahead with and helped me. She was very sweet. So anyway, and then my other grandmother, and that grandmother quilted beautifully. Mm-hmm. She did lots of applique, and then my other grandmother had 7 children, and she made many, many utility quilts. And most of my aunts quilted.
Oh,
my mother
nice.
Did lots of embroidery, but mm-hmm. was not interested in the slightest in quilting, which was odd. So I made up for it.
Yes, absolutely made up for it. Now,
yeah.
One of the things that you're known for, Miss Mary Lou, is story quilts. And, mm-hmm. you know, some people might not, you know, if they're not as familiar with you, they just go to MaryLouQuiltDesigns.com and you can see all of, like, galleries mm-hmm. of Mary Lou's work and her students' work. But tell me what a story quilt is to you so that people get a feel for what we're talking about.
Okay, well, when I give a lecture, I usually, you know, talk about all the quilts that we make, and the bottom line is, in 80 years, when people see the body of work that you've done as a quilter, mm-hmm. what will they know about you personally?
Mm-hmm.
And so my big thing is to try to get quilters to at least do one story quilt. And it could be about them and the things that they collect, or it could be about their family or their favorite kitty. Or I just had a woman this week that did a quote called The Little Store, and it was about going to buy penny candy.
Mm-hmm.
And
neat.
Yeah, you know, things that you can kind of relate to. So a good example is my husband's aunt just passed away this week, and she really was just a very interesting person and mm-hmm. Never had children or anything. So I have drawn out this little story quilt mm-hmm. about her, and that she was Phi Beta Kappa, and she never married, and she stayed with her mother, and she loved art, and mm-hmm. She was kind of a loner, but really, really sweet and interesting. And I thought, I want a quilt about her mm-hmm. so that, you know, that will live on and people will know something about her. So that's kind of where I come from. And I try to go ahead.
And you share a lot of your students' work and your own work on your blog. Well, now blogs, you have two, you crazy woman.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Well, I have two by accident because I have Google blogs, and Google kind of lost my blog, and luckily my friend's son got it back, but by then I had started another one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so some people, I can't figure it out. Some people go to one and won't go to the other one, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You'd think that you'd go to both, but, you know, time is... So I put different things on both blogs. I figure, why do the same thing?
That's right.
And for me, I like to read a little bit about what people are about, but for me, I want photos.
Mm-hmm.
I want color.
Mm-hmm.
I want a joke once in a while. You know how sometimes it's been a bummer of a day, and if I've had not the greatest day, which most of my days are pretty great, but
yeah.
I'll just want to laugh before I go to bed, and so I go to something that's lighthearted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have people that send me funny things, and I put those on there with the idea that, you know, when you go to bed, there's something that blesses you, and you have a good night's sleep, and you're happy.
Yeah, I like that. It's good philosophy. It's a good way to live.
Yeah, yeah. You know, count your blessings, and, you know, I always say, you know, we all have, you know, bummer things that happen, but if you, I encourage everybody to do a gratitude list and just list little things, you know, like your favorite hand lotion. And
that would make a good quilt, don't you think, to do
gratitude? Yes, yeah. It really, I mean, think of all the things you could put on there. And and once you start doing that, you realize that you could just put dozens and dozens of things every day.
You could.
You know what I mean?
Big quilts.
And I know you would know what I mean because you're that kind of a person. And so that's kind of fun to, if people haven't done that, to say, do that. And then you can do a story about many of the things that you're grateful for.
Yeah, one of the things, everybody that is listening, I'd like to tell you is that I asked Mary Lou to just sort of walk through me when we had lunch one day at the show, you know, what to do for a story quilt for myself, which Mary Lou I have not done yet, but I have all
That's
of
okay.
Her,
You're busy.
I'm ready. I have all of her wonderful advice, and she sort of talked me through the process that she uses to think about things. And, you know, you do a lot with words also, which I just love words.
Yeah.
Have you always put words on your quilt? You know, you were just talking about your Sadie Hawkins Day dress that you left the words on.
Right, right. I have always put words on, and lots of different ways. I've painted them on. I've done stencil painting where you cut the word out and then iron on the freezer paper real good and tight and then, you know, put the paint on. I've done crazy piecing letters for a long time. If you want to tell a little story, the easiest way is to embroider it. And I'm sort of a folk artist, so a lot of times I just... I don't draw it out. You know, I don't want my things to be perfect. I like it more. I think it's more interesting and more you if you can kind of let go. And there's two kinds of people. There's the ones that are the perfectionists that can make the most grand Baltimore album, but they have the worst time letting go and not making things perfect. And then there's the beginner quilters that don't seem to know all the rules. And they let go right off the bat.
It's interesting, isn't it? You get to see all kinds in your class because your classes are primarily the let go kind.
Right, right. And I came from an art background, so my goal, really, I'm a process teacher. My goal is to bring the inner artist in you, because everybody has him or her, and to bring it out. And to teach you about what invention is, because as adults, we kind of forget about what invention is. And as quilters, a lot of times, just give us the pattern.
Yeah.
And And after a while, I tell people, you know, you're ready now where, mm-hmm. you know, you can invent and you can make your own special pattern that's you.
Right.
And it's fun. And I mean, yeah. some people that don't think they can do it, once you talk them into it, they just, they do something fabulous. And same with drawing. I do a little drawing class in my story quote classes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's afraid. And I can't draw.
You hear that a lot, right?
Oh, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they're afraid. And you have to let go of that. And then you just have to know a couple little tricks. And once they know the tricks, they, you know, usually will bring their drawing and they'll say, look at this. I can't believe I drew this. So I know everybody can draw, contrary to what they think.
And it's nice that you add that into your workshop. I think that's a really a benefit people get that they probably don't even know they're going to come away with, the ability to draw.
Right, right. And, you know, and the more you do it, the better you get.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, Mary Lou, we're going to take a break here in a few seconds,
okay.
but I want to tell people that out on allpeoplequilt.com, our American Patchwork and Quilting's website, there is one of your patterns for a flower pot, six flower pots. It's so adorable. And it's called, I think it's out under It's a Riot. Or just put in Mary Lou's name, and that'll come up. That one, they're showing paper piece. Did you do yours paper pieced, or was yours done more
I do it Hoochie Mama style, which is just you know, long strips, but you could do it paper pieced. I don't like pulling off all that paper. I'm
right. I think it was easier for the magazine to paper piece, which is really easy. It's not a difficult paper piece project.
It's easy, and I have to say it's adorable, and I've seen a lot of different ones that people have done, and I did not blame them for doing that as paper piece, because to try to, in a magazine, teach people how to let go.
Yeah, so it's impossible, right? They need a pattern for that one.
Yeah, exactly.
So what we're going to do, Mary Lou, is we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about your traveling. I also want to ask you about your new book and the freestyle kind of work that you do, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
That sounds good. So everybody goes out and visit Mary Lou's blog at MaryLouQuiltDesigns.com. And we'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio right after this break.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting. I'm Pat, here with Mary Lou Wideman. So, Mary Lou, when you mentioned Hoochie Mama earlier, not everybody might realize that that is what you call your method of cutting and piecing shapes. Tell me a little bit about what that is versus using templates or.
I used to see years ago kind of free and easy piecing, and somebody would take a corner, they would clip a square and cut corners off, and I hate wasting time cutting. It just, you know, kind of drives you crazy, or does me. I feel like it's a waste of time. So my method is to take a 4-inch strip, and any place that you need to cut corners or make shapes, you use these strips, and then you use fabric as foundation. And while I'm saying that, if you go to my website, I have a group on yahoogroups.com. So I create these things, and we just had 36 women that did a fish swap, and we divided it into threes, and so everybody made 12, just fast and free and funky fish, and we all use the same background. Very fun. Yeah. And we've done bees and all kinds of other stuff. So I love it. So basically, I'm doing a lot of quilts that are piece things. Like I wrote a book called Flower Power. So you piece all these flowers, and then to fill in, you can applique some flowers. And actually, I'm working on a quilt for my 5-year-old granddaughter who loves bugs, and so I have all of these flowers, and then I've got bugs hidden everywhere, and so it's kind of a story quilt, but not.
Right. And it's different. You get to build shapes, but they're not as soft as the applique shapes.
Yeah, exactly. But they really work well together. That's what's kind of fun about it. So I'll do all of these flowers kind of, you know, and there's a lot of linear shape in there. And then I do real soft, like daisies or whatever around there. And then it softens the line. So you get, you know, both. And you throw in a couple turtles that are, you know, have those rounded lines, and squirrels' tails and things like that. And I always tell everybody there are so many unfinished quilts out there. And I think I started finishing everything once I gave myself permission to not know what the quilt was going to look like when it was done. And that way it keeps my interest.
Yeah.
And
so you're building as you go often with your quilts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you'll throw something in there and it just makes you giggle. And, adults love it, and kids just really love it, because that's kind of how they work.
Right. And this is what you teach when you go out on the road. Now, you teach you travel more than most people do.
I think I do. I think I do.
And how often are you out?
I'm going to be gone probably close to 3 weeks in October, and the same in November. But those are usually that's my busy time in the fall. And then March, April, and May are also, I just tell my husband, I am coming back, and there's food in the fridge. And I love it, because it's kind of what feeds my soul, it's the contact with the people. And my kids had said, why don't you just stay home and sell books and blah, 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 and don't travel anymore. And I said, well, if I didn't travel, then it would take the joy of quilting and stories. And Because I love to hear what people think of as a story, and I like to hear about, you know, what people love and
you're a very people person.
I'm Irish, and I think that that's that's kind of inborn or something. My dad's family was like that, but. Go ahead.
Do you have like a favorite story about one of your travels that you could share with everybody?
Well, I have a couple just one sentence things. I'll tell you, I went to Petersburg, Alaska, and it was a fabulous trip. And a lady took me out on the ocean, and we went to see a glacier before I lectured, and a storm came in, and we were headed back, and all this water was coming in, and I was laughing. I didn't realize that she thought we weren't going to make it.
Oh, my.
And, so that was a a story, but one of my most favorite places to go. This in February, I went to Prescott, Arizona, and taught, and I hadn't felt very good for a while, and when I was done, I went to see my aunt and uncle, and that night, I had this attack, and I drove myself 50 miles to the hospital, and I thought I was having a heart attack, and I had gangrenous gallbladder.
Oh.
So that was kind of interesting.
On the road while you're out
on
of town.
On the road, yes. And so then I called my family and said, I'm going to be in the hospital for over a week. And,
yeah.
And then one time I had to sleep with a dog for 9 days because the dog liked me, and it would try to attack its owner when the guy would come in to get the dog out. And the fourth night I was there, the dog was making noises, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I started to get up on my elbow, and the dog threw up all over me.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah. So
the adventures.
The adventures, the glamour.
The glamour.
I've had hotel stories, too.
You haven't been to, right, Mary Lou? You've been to all but
been to all but your state, Virginia.
Ah.
I've not been there. And I have not been to Rhode Island.
Oh.
And Rhode Island's really small, and so I think, well, maybe I won't make it there. And I want to go to Cape Cod. Everybody says, oh, my gosh, Cape Cod is so wonderful. So have you been there?
No, I haven't been there either. We should go together, then.
I was going to say, let's go together. That would be great.
I know. Now, did somebody from Virginia recently talk to you? You were telling me you might be coming here. Or...
Yes. A really nice lady wrote and said, well, I think I could get you here. Yeah. And we've kind of gone back and forth, and I'm not sure if we've gotten anything really concrete, but I'm in hopes. I think there might be a chance I'm going to end up there.
Yes. Well, so I wanted to put it out here on the radio, Mary Lou.
Ever.
So, Virginia and Rhode Island quilters, you know, step on up here. You got to be writing Mary Lou.
Yeah, I'll watch for that.
Yeah.
So
when you've been out teaching, do you have a person's quilt that sort of sticks in your mind? Did they, you know, while they were making it, and then later, you know, did they send you a picture? I think all of us as teachers find that one or two.
Well, you know, gosh, there's so many. You know, one girl did this great quilt about talking to her mother when she was in high school, and her mother would make a big bubble bath for herself, and Sue would go in and sit there and kind of tell her her, you know, problems and everything. And she did a quilt, and it's won a number of prizes. It's really wonderful. And lots of really neat grandmother quilts, which I love. And one time a lady did a quilt about her husband's pants getting caught on some barbed wire. And it was a very funny quilt, but I understand he didn't think it was as funny as she did. So, and I often tell people in my classes, if you're going to do your husband, give him some real biceps and some hair.
Yeah,
they don't really like it when they're bald.
Yeah,
give them a little more hair than they really have. Kind of like I make myself short and thin. So
there you go. There, that's good.
And you can give yourself blonde hair or long hair or whatever.
Yeah,
that's part of the fun of it.
Oh, so, now your newest book is called Out of the Box with Easy Blocks.
Right.
Tell everybody about it.
Well, let me tell you what the big deal that's kind of happened with that that's kind of funny is I did a cow quilt that you can do in about 3 hours. And it's a fairly good size. And I did purple cow. Well, all of a sudden, I started getting these. Somebody did Panama Canal, and somebody did Amira Cow quilt. And so I'm getting all of these people that have done all of these different cow quilts with different cow names. And so we're going to take 15 to market. And then when I come back, I'm going to have photos of all those on my blog. And I'm hoping that we can just get a great big show together and be able to show, have a couple of shows at national quilt shows and with the cows.
Okay.
Because they're
that
fast and they're
shows. Listen up here.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to have this cow show because it is really funny and fun. I also did Psychedelic. being a child of the 60s. So.
Well, of course.
Anyway,
of course you did.
but there's chickens in there. There's shoes. There's popsicles. There's two different.
And it walks you through the process.
Cakes.
You know, a little more structured. So because you know they're not with you personally.
Right. My first out of the box was kind of like on creativity, and it's like, okay, now create. Mm-hmm. And it was on story quilts. And this quilt, we ended up doing like patterns. Mm-hmm. You know, where you cut. You know. Your strips 2.5 inches and whatever. And that's what's so fun is you can put them together in no time. Mm-hmm. And
I like
they're really,
it.
I do too. And they're quick baby quilts. They're things, but you can put it together in a day. I mean, honestly, I love it because you don't have to do any figuring.
Yeah.
So, which I usually am doing, you know. So,
well, that's true. You always have to figure out something. And I think the cake in here is awesome. I love the cake with the word celebrate.
Yeah, and there's a chocolate cake in there, too, which if you buy some brown fabric, it's cute. And but, yeah, I like that the words in there. And, of course, there's an alphabet in there.
Right,
and,
right.
So I like personalizing things. And if you do a story about somebody, you should put their birth date in and possibly their passing date if they've passed away.
Good.
And,
get it all documented. Are you going to be in Houston, Mary Lou?
And I am going to be in Houston.
Okay. Well, then I will see you there.
And well, good. I will be happy to see you. I'll be looking for you for sure.
Okay. I'll be looking for you, too. And I want everybody to go see your website, MaryLouQuiltDesigns.com. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for asking me. I'm tickled to talk to you.
You're fabulous.
All righty.
Everybody go visit us at AllPeopleQuilt.com for more tips, free patterns, and techniques. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we'll see you next week here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to